Hello there and welcome into the show. I'm Adrian Healy in the company of Alejandro Moreno and Shaka Hislop here in the studio. We'll be joined by Julie Foudy and Hercules Gomez to talk US soccer a little later on in the show after the resignation of President Carlos Cordero late last night. But before we get to that, have to start, don't we, with what is going on. Football brought to a sudden and dramatic standstill by the coronavirus. The Bundesliga suspending this weekend's games. They were one of the last to do so. They've yet to decide if it'll go beyond April the 2nd. The Premier League, also one of the last to go, suspended until April the 3rd. We already knew about the Champions League and Europa League games being off next week. League One suspended indefinitely. Spain and Holland suspended for the next two match days. MLS is on hiatus for the next 30 days. Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, as we did the show this time yesterday, the news broke about Mikel Arteta testing positive. That seemed to be the tipping point, because up until that point, the Premier League had not suspended games this weekend. Why did it take him so long?
Well, I think the general attitude of most leagues is to come out and say, look, you know, we are not experts, we're not scientists. We're going to take our lead from local governments, which you know you can see why they would say that. The attitude of the government here in the United Kingdom was pretty clear. A few hours before Arteta came out, or news of his positive test came out, the government came out and they said, "Well, we're not going to play behind closed doors. Cheltenham, the big racing festival is going on, 60,000 people together." We're going to take a different approach to it. And that's basically what they've been doing. And I think that very much guided the Premier League. And the Premier League said, all right, well, if the government here in the UK is taking this approach, then who are we to be more restrictive? However, as you mentioned, once you have a Premier League coach testing positive, there's at least one other player, several other players, of course, suspected of positive tests, whole teams being quarantined, everybody else shutting down. I think they made the sensible decisions. Let's take a deep breath and let's see where we are.
Well, now, of course, Gab, all eyes will be very keenly on this forthcoming meeting on Tuesday that UEFA are holding. All 55 member nations involved, all the representatives of the big leagues, the clubs, the players, everyone's going to be there. They're going to have some different agendas, aren't they? What's going to occur?
You know what? You say they're going to have different agendas. I don't know. I think right now, and having spent a lot of time on the phone with a lot of people, most people's agenda is public health comes first. I think UEFA's line from the moment that you started having these issues with Italian clubs traveling and, of course, Inter Milan playing behind closed doors has been, let's defer to local governments, let's defer to local health authorities and what clubs want to do. But they were basically put in this situation because deferring to local governments, local authorities means you're not able to fulfill your Champions League and Europa League fixtures, given the restrictions in Switzerland, in Italy, in Spain, and elsewhere. So faced with that situation, they're going to say, let's have a big video conference. Let's get all the stakeholders on board. And let's try to, wherever possible, speak with one voice. I mean, you're right. People will have priorities. People will have questions about, you know, do we move the Euros? How do we play the Champions League final? Can we wrap up the Champions League? What guidance should you give us about how to wrap up our domestic leagues? Although, of course, those decisions will be taken locally. And, of course, when can we play again? Which is obviously much more of a government scientific question. Whatever comes out, I think UEFA want to make sure everybody's involved, everybody's listened to, and then they're going to try to put these broad guidelines. But again, they will always be subordinate to public health, public safety, and governments.
Gab, in the case of the domestic leagues, let's concentrate on that. What are the options? None of them particularly palatable, I'm sure. What are the options in terms of finishing up the league or not finishing them?
Well, I'll talk about Serie A because, of course, they're the they've been dealing with this longer than anybody, and they're the first ones that came out and said, broadly speaking, there are three options. Now, most of the big European leagues are in the same boat in that they have, you know, between 8 and 12, sometimes 13 league fixtures to fulfill. What Serie A have said, we see three options. One option is is simply to go and declare this year's title vacant. It's as if the league will have never taken place. That means no promotion and relegation either. And we're going to assign places for the Champions League and Europa League based on the league standings as they are now. Option number two is to simply take the league table as it is now and say this is the final league table. You three guys at the bottom, you might not have played as many games, or you know, you might have had a tougher schedule, whatever. Sorry, you guys are relegated. Option number three, and this is only contingent, this only comes into play if they have some free dates ahead of the Euros or possibly in June. You know, we don't quite know when we're going to get the all clear to play again, is let's come up with some sort of playoff system, both to award titles and also for the relegation. And when I talk of playoffs, I'm not talking, you know, MLS playoffs or anything like that. It would be something, think of it more as like a mini league, maybe like the Liga they have that in Liga MX, and they would carry over based on some formula, the current points that they have in the table, so that if you're, say, Liverpool and you have a 25-point league, you know, you don't start from scratch. Mm-hmm. But again, all this is to be determined. This is what they've talked about in Italy. There's going to be more meetings, of course, in England for the Premier League and everywhere else, should it come to that.
Mm. What about you guys? What's the most palatable option for bringing this league season in all the countries affected to some sort of conclusion?
I'd like to see the leagues come to some kind of a conclusion. How that is done. Listen, I know as of right now, Euros has not been moved, but if it does, maybe it opens up additional dates, as Gab was alluding to. Whether it's a playoff system, whatever it may be, the last thing I want to see happen is that 2019, 2020 is simply written out of the, of the record books. I think the knock-on effect for that is huge, not just for clubs like Liverpool with their first title in 30 years, but Benevento in Serie B, 20 points clear. They're now being denied a lucrative opportunity to play in Serie A. That I just feel it has too big a knock-on effect to simply say, sorry about that, but let's just do this all over again, come August.
Yeah, from the perspective of players, you want things to be decided out on the field. And I think we would all would want to see, at the very least, some sort of competition that determines the final outcome of whatever league we're talking about. Now, so people are going to point at the fact that Liverpool is at the distance that they are, and rightfully so. And so then you have to consider, well, not all leagues are made equal in this 2019-2020 season. And so if you're the Premier League, do you then take yourself out of that equation and then you say, you know what, Liverpool should be the champions. We don't have to play for that, but we do have to play for relegation. And so do you then involve teams in a relegation playoff? Those are decisions that are individual and unique to each league. What I would say is that overall, I would like to see it be played out on the field and decided on the field. When you just say, you know what, we're done with it and we'll just take the result as it is, it doesn't feel like like you have decided whatever comes out of it out on the training ground and out on the playing field. And as players, that's what you want to do. You want to compete for something.
Gab, it feels like the big circuit breaker in this decision-making process on Tuesday will be the Euros, Euro 2020. If UEFA does decide to postpone them or move them to next year, whatever they decide, that does open up the summer. How likely is that, do you think?
I think it's increasingly likely. There's several factors to consider. One, off the top of it, UEFA themselves, and also, you know, the big European clubs, they also want the Champions League and the Europa League to finish. So we don't know when this crisis is going to be over. But if you get into a scenario where, you know, it gets to mid-May and it's looking like, you know, maybe in June this could be a possibility, everybody is going to want what Moreno just said, which is let's go out there and let's settle things on the field. That might mean, for example, Champions League ties that are one-legged, playing in neutral venues. It could mean things like that, but they want to cram that in. If they can't cram it in ahead of the Euros, then I think in the end there is enough impetus there to go and postpone the Euros. First and foremost, you know, Champions League finals May 30th, Eurostar June 12th. It's not that much lag time in between. If you can do one, you can do the other. If you can't, there's no way you're going to be able to do one and not the other, is basically what I'm driving at. If you move them, everybody's talking June 2021. There are, again, a number of logistical hurdles there. You've got World Cup qualifier scheduled for that time. Fine, maybe you can move them, put them somewhere in the schedule. You have the Europa Nations League Final Four. Okay, fine. Don't play that. Move it somewhere else. You know, it pales by comparison. You have the Women's European Championships, which kick off at the beginning of July. There'll be some overlap there. They're being played in England. You may have to, you know, rejigger the end of the Men's Euros. Maybe you don't play it at Wembley and whatever. That is sort of doable, although, again, in terms of marketing and publicity for the Women's Euros, you know, that's something that they need to think about, because obviously there will be some cannibalization there. But the other big issue is the FIFA Club World Cup, the inaugural FIFA Club World Cup. 24 teams from around the world, 8 from Europe, 8 really, really big teams from Europe who are going to make a lot of money off this. How will they feel if that gets, because there's a clash there, if that has to be rescheduled or postponed? Look, in the end, I think where there's a will, there's a way, but there's a lot of logistical stuff that they would need to figure out. Personally, I'm starting to think that might be the best idea.
Mm. All eyes on that UEFA meeting on Tuesday. So many questions still to be answered. So many of your questions to be answered on Extra Time. You can see it on our YouTube channel.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Just a recap on what the U.S. soccer lawyers said in court as part of this gender discrimination lawsuit on Monday. The women do not perform equal work requiring equal skill and effort to the men, because the overall soccer playing ability required to compete at the senior men's level is materially influenced by the level of certain physical attributes such as speed and strength.
Boy.
An appalling misstep from the U.S. soccer lawyers. Carlos Cordero, U.S. soccer president, enduring a firestorm and, in fact, resigning just late last night, ending in just over 2 years in charge. Of course, the U.S. was selected to host the 2026 World Cup with Canada and Mexico. He hired Greg Berhalter on the men's side. He oversaw the women winning the World Cup in 2019, but also the start of the lawsuit back in March of 2019. And now this. We're joined by Julie Foudy and Hercules Gomez to discuss this. Jules, let's start with you, because you were on the show just 24 hours ago saying you didn't think Carlos Cordero could survive this. And indeed, just a few hours later, he did resign. Your reaction?
There was absolutely no path forward for him. Mm. I mean, a misstep of this magnitude, Adrian, is still today, I'm processing it and I'm going, again, who would think this is a great scenario for them, a great approach, a great argument, a legal argument? And I tell you who else is going to come down with a lot of heat is Lydia Walke, who's their general counsel, who was in charge of this argument, a woman. And how do you not see, I don't care if you're blue in the face as a lawyer arguing that this is a great legal argument, how do you not see the repercussions of this with sponsors, with fans, with public sentiment? Because in the end, even if you do win a trial, then you've lost the war, though, haven't you?
Mm. Herc, Carlos Cordero said he hadn't ever even reviewed these legal documents, these particular legal arguments that his lawyers were going to make.
The arrogance and ignorance here is outstanding. It's mind-blowing. They only really took action when there was sponsorship money that they were afraid was going to be taken away. When Volkswagen, when, you know, Budweiser, when all these companies started speaking up, that's when they took action. Now listen, Carlos Cordero didn't do this by himself. And let me read this right here. USSF bylaw 411. The board shall have all governance, supervisory, and administrative authority of the federation. He has one of 15 votes. This goes much more deeper than Carlos Cordero. Now, they're being sued by the U.S. women, but they're also being sued by Relevant Sports, Hope Solo, the NASL, and their own foundation. The stupidity that runs across U.S. soccer these days, and for what has been probably the last 4 or 5 years, I repeat, mind-blowing. The lack of representation within the federation, how they treat our women. Let's not even get into the deplorable comments that came out in this litigation. It's just one after the other. I don't know how, besides cleaning house, you can fix this.
Mm. Also have Gab Marcotti with us. Want to bring him on board. Gab, how is the world viewing this from outside looking in on U.S. soccer?
Well, in terms of the world, obviously they're slightly more preoccupied with other things right now than Carlos Cordero.
Yes.
However, in terms of the football community, and obviously the issue of equal pay for national team players is something that a lot of different federations are looking at. I actually spoke today to somebody at a football association that's going to be facing similar challenges, and obviously, they're not somebody who would be thrilled, and right now they do not provide equal pay for their women's team. They know it's something they're going to have to face, but they made the point, it's such a huge issue in the United States, why would you come up with such a horrendous argument? I think Julie absolutely nailed it, that, you know, even if you were to win this, and, you know, who knows, lawyers, snakes, who knows, you know, they might have won this. But they would have lost the broader war with that kind of argument. And it is such a dereliction of duty that the people at the top, as Herc said, didn't pay enough attention to this and say, hey, guys, when we go into court with this argument that everybody's talking about, what's our argument going to be? Is it just going to be that women are genetically inferior and therefore we're going to pay them less money? Is this what we're going to argue? Okay. You know, like I just find that absolutely staggering.
Mm. Guys, it's been a terrible 3 or 4 years. It's hard to think of a club, a body, or an organization in our sport that's had a worse 3 or 4 years than the U.S. Soccer Federation.
Yes. Now, you're talking to guys here from Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela whose federations, let me tell you, are all over the shop, including the fact that former president of my federation, was directly involved in the FIFA scandal. And so, let's just say that we have seen a lot of things.
Mm.
You don't expect it to happen in the United States of America.
Mm.
When it happens in Venezuela, when it happens in Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm speaking on behalf of Shaka here, you kind of go, well, you know, that's the sort of the way that we do things around here. You know, we cut corners over there, we cut corners over there, and in the end we get to an end result that some people are happy with, and those that are not happy with it, we pay them off and they go away.
Mm.
It's in our culture, and I cannot apologize for that enough. That's who we are, and you see it time and time again. But you don't expect it here.
Mm.
You don't expect that sort of argument would be made in court. You don't expect that there isn't a direct path and a direction, a clear direction and identity as to what is it that this federation wants to do with both their programs, the men's program and the women's program. And in the end, just as a basic argument of somebody who's not involved with this, I'm not involved with it, I have no horse in this race, and I can tell you this much. These women are the best at what they do. Mm. In the world! In the world! How can they not be compensated as such? Now, if I'm involved with a game, right? Mm. And I can give that argument. The person who's not even involved with the game, you give them that argument in the court of public opinion, and there is no chance that U.S. Soccer Federation would in any way win that in that court, or would win it in the court of common sense.
Mm. Julie, Carlos Cordero was supposed to be an agent of change, wasn't he, when he came to power just over 2 years ago. Not too much change, I don't think, it is stewardship. There's still that culture of arrogance that Herc was talking about. Where do they go from here? How do things change? How do things get better for U.S. soccer?
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is they have no leadership, as we've seen, right? You're relying for your leadership to come from a volunteer position in Carlos Cordero as the president, which is why I take issue with the fact that the presidential position is a volunteer position. And they took forever, and they're still searching. They're on their second search for a CEO to lead the organization. So there's been this vacuum of leadership that has existed there. And the way forward is, one, getting a great CEO who I pray daily has good instincts, who recognizes when this legal argument is a terrible one and would say, what are we doing here? And apparently that's supposed to be imminent, that announcement. But we've heard that before, so I'm not sure I trust that entirely. And I hope someone, I mean, the silver lining in all of this is Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who is a player. She's the vice president, who's now the acting president when Carlos resigned. She's a player I played with for many years. She is fantastic as a human being and would give her left arm and right leg or both legs for this federation and for it to be successful. And she gets what the players have been through. She's lived it, right? So if anyone can actually get them to the table, I have hope that Cindy can play that role. But it's a tall task, given how blundered they've done everything so far. To step into this and say, I can fix it, is hard because it's so messy right now.
And how do you see it going from this point, Julie, with Cindy Cohn at the helm, as you say, possible trial date on May the 5th?
There is a possible trial date on May the 5th. Part of this angst from Carlos Cordero was he realized, like, we should get to the table and settle this. That was an angst that came way too late. He should have been angsting about this in September and October, right? There should have been some urgency back in the fall. But I will say the first thing I would do is reassess Carlos's last move when he issued that apology letter live to us on air during that She Believes Cup game against Japan. He said he has fired the law firm that put out this 2,600-page brief, and they've brought back in Latham and Watkins. Well, Latham and Watkins, although they are a world-renowned global law firm, right? They were the ones that actually sat across the table from this women's national team and all the players in 2016 and that super contentious battle. And the players were irked because the same type of messaging was coming back at them. You're inferior. You don't draw enough. There's not enough money. FIFA doesn't pay enough, right? So you've now gone to bringing back that exact same law firm that the players do not like. I don't get it. Again, it's a bad decision.
Yeah, another one. Herc, just briefly to sum things up, you've experienced the U.S. Soccer Federation as a player and now as a journalist too. How do things get better?
I don't know if they can get better. I'd love to sit here and take Julie's word about the vice president, now president, you know, Cindy Parlow-Cohn, with a grain of salt, because she was the vice president when this was put out there, and she was part of the governing board, the board of directors that should have approved this. So it happened right under her nose. Why are we to suspect that it should be any different now? The board of the directors is directly responsible for what's going on right now. Listen, Carlos Cordero is the fall guy. And to me, that says everything. That screams everything. I really feel there needs to be, if we're talking about leadership, a clean house.
All right. Herc and Julie, thank you so much for joining us. If you ever miss an edition of the show, the podcast is where you can get it.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa know-how.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Well, that was some week, wasn't it? And there's only really one proper way to end it. That would be the best of the week.
Hey, folks, it's me. Yeah, we got Parma, Spa, Milan in Genoa, Sampdoria, Hellas, Verona.
Is Stevie okay?
Oh.
You okay?
No.
Should the Premier League just stop the season now and say, listen, we have no winner? The four who played in the Champions League.
When you put that slant on,
exactly.
No. 100% no. No.
Where do you stand on Edison's tattoos, Frank? Would you like to add that?
Nah.
No.
I just have a tattoo in my back. Like that, I can't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it.
And by the way, I do have a tattoo.
Do you, Gav?
Oh, come on.
Is it Zach Ertz?
It's not Zach Ertz. It's a little fish. So there.
It's what, Nemo?
Nemo? We found Nemo?
Nemo.
Nemo?
Yeah, where is it?
Where is Nemo?
Nemo lives on my hip, which is why Dan has never seen it.
Ooh. Oh. How much are they paying Jules to listen to Gab talk for the entire podcast?
A lot of money. Very expensive.
Who wears the blue jacket better, Ali or Dan? Of course, you wore your paler blue jacket.
That's right.
Well, it looks as though you're selling ice creams.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's a bit...
Look at it.
It's beautiful. It's stunning, is it?
That's right, mate.
Obviously, my blue jacket's better, but that's okay. Nice effort.
You've got a couple of blues. So.
Yeah. It goes with your blue eyes. It's why you want to...
I have many beautiful jackets, Frank.
Blue eyes.
Where are we going?
Welcome in to Extra Time. We're starting now, Peter. Be quiet. Thank you to Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali's here. Taylor's here. Peter, who are you talking to?
Oh, speaking to my father, actually.
Is he there? Is he?
Yeah. You've got to come down here. Come down. Oh. Come say hello.
There you go.
Hey!
Winning is the deodorant of the game. Because it covers all bad smells.
See night, Frank.
See ya.
Say goodnight to me. Bye-bye.
Oh, don't do that again.
Night.
What's Peter's greatest refereeing regret?
Mm. The invisible yellow card, yes, okay, yeah. For 25 years I refereed, everybody remembers that.
Show us what you did, Peter. Oh. Can't recreate it.
No.
So did he actually go
Steve,
like that?
You yes, must have seen
yes,
it.
Yes. With nothing in his hand.
And he goes, yellow.
Yellow.
The best thing is, when I show the imaginary yellow card, I actually put the imaginary yellow card back in my pocket. So...
Yeah, brilliant.
What's it like watching a game when I get abused by every single supporter? Tell them what the answer should be. He didn't join in, that's for sure.
Just pretending.
Wanted to occasionally, of course.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I'm telling them the truth. I think your mum was worse than me.
Tell you what, we're going to have to get Peter Walton's dad on.
I love that, man.
I love that. We're going to have to get him on quite a bit in the coming weeks, I suspect.
Yeah.
What else are we going to be talking about?
I'd watch half an hour of Peter's dad all day long.
Right. We'll be back tomorrow talking about something. Maybe we'll be playing FIFA against each other or something.
We'll get the job done.
Me and Stevie playing FIFA.
We'll get the job done.
Thanks for watching.
We'll be here.
As always, see you next time. And away we go. I have a little special sauce in my hands. Your questions that make up extra time.
What have we been doing today, Shank?
You know what Shanker does with questions that he doesn't like?
I engineered this plane.
While we were waiting for extra time to begin.
It's working very well, though.
But this is the final version.
This is the final version.
The initial versions were not all that great.
There was some test.
No, but the wings on this one. Which test camera versions. Is it? The wings.
Yeah.
The wings on this
one. Oh, that's where it's at.
That's where
aerodynamic.
It's at.
Okay.
Look, straight at the camera. Watch this.
That's all right.
Good.
That's what a NASA internship gets you, folks.
That's what happens when you suspend all football across the world.
Yeah, get used to this. There's going to be a lot of it for the next
tomorrow,
3 weeks.
You just wait for a place tomorrow.
Origami tomorrow.
Oh, origami. Yes. Nice use of origami, by the way. Gab is with us. Gab, sweep the leg gets us kicked off. Actually reminding us that you weren't ready to anoint Liverpool as champions just yet a few weeks ago. He says, I know it's not aliens abducting Klopp, but was Gab right not to crown Liverpool champions?
Ooh.
To be determined, I guess.
I don't really feel comfortable joking about this, but I think the reality is, were the league to be suspended, were they not to play again this season, were things to be declared vacant, I think the fact of the matter is, everybody would consider Liverpool champions. Mm. I know I would.
Yeah.
But yes.
So now he's ready to give him the title. Now he is.
Right.
Oh boy.
They can't just null and void it.
No, they can't. Just null
I mean,
void.
It just no.
They can't.
That's the least palatable of all the options. What is more palatable is talking about whether Ali has ever scored on Shaka. Oh. That's the question. I believe.
Who wrote this in, Ali?
Yeah.
Did Ali send this question to himself?
It was Chico.
Yeah. El Luchador's number one fan. DC _underboss. And the answer to that question is 100% yes. Yes, indeed.
Can you give us the date, or at least the surroundings?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a Shakastrophic moment as well. Yes, it was. The definitional. Where Shaka and the defender, his central defender at the time, they took each other out.
Ah, not Greg Vanney, was it?
It may have been. They took each other out, and then there I was, from my kind of range.
Oh, open goal.
Wide open goal, deadly, as I am from that kind of range. Boom. Yes, sir. So I have scored.
There's video evidence of it somewhere, folks. 2006, MLS, Houston, yes. Dallas. It's there somewhere.
Yes.
Seek it out.
Yes. It was actually US Open Cup.
Oh, it was Open Cup. All right.
What a moment.
Yes. moment we'll be dreaming of for the next few weeks. Gab, should the leagues that have been suspended move to a playoff method to decide the winner? Of course, we talked about this on the show. One of the options available will be playoffs. Do you think that's the right one?
If you have enough time to do it, yes. And obviously right now, we don't know if they do. But when I say playoffs, like I said during the show, I don't mean playoff doesn't mean straight knockout or whatever. I prefer to use the term, if you've got the time to do it, mini league or, correct me if I'm wrong, Ali, Liguilla, something like that, where you split the 20 up into, or however many there are in your league, into say, all right, you guys compete to avoid the drop. You guys compete for, you know, Europa League places. You guys compete for the title. And we'll carry over some of your points. The Belgian League, they don't do this anymore, but for several years, they used to do something where they would have a split season at the end and you would carry over, I think it was half your points. So somebody might have 31.5 points or whatever. But, I mean, the concept is to award it on the pitch while taking into consideration what happened and making it really matter what happened in the first part of the season. So we're not talking playoffs like you know, in some leagues where more than half the teams qualify for the playoffs and you pretend the regular season matters, when we're not hitting the reset button here. But we're doing something like that. There are formulas out there. There's nerdy math people who can go and explain this much better than I can. One of them might actually be sitting next to you guys right there. So there are ways to do this in a way that's fair.
And my
do we have
plan,
one of those sat next
my,
to us?
My plan was evidence
yes.
of my ability to sort this out.
You got to sort out a coefficient, Shaq.
I'll do that.
Yes. And then you can multiply that times the number of points, and therefore you got a weighted formula as to what the points are going to be.
Mm. I have to build a few planes first.
To get to that coefficient?
Before I worry about anything else.
Mm. Well, I just
the important
you,
things.
I just gave
the
you
the important things.
Huh? There's a plan in place, Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Just call us. You'll do the planes, I'll do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Alejandro has written in. The other Alejandro.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of these Alejandro questions.
If all of ESPN FC went to a penalty shootout, who would be the five and in which order? If we had to win a shootout to progress in the...
All right, well, we're going to start with Burley because he's actually a penalty kick taker. Yeah, so he's got to get us going.
Yeah.
Stevie, but he's missed in big
Stevie
moments.
Stevie is...
He's got a history.
Yeah.
Missed big penalties.
That's all right, but Stevie can score a penalty.
Yeah.
We are going to leave Brian McBride out.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's no longer with the show, I have to say, I have seen that guy... In some events that we have to do for FIFA,
are we trusting LeBeouf?
You have to have
LeBeouf.
You have to have LeBeouf. Burley, Nickel, LeBeouf,
Robson, Stuart Robson.
He's very angry.
I scored a couple of penalties in college.
I'm going to get to you. I'll take the fourth one.
Oh, I was going to say, you've got to be number five. You're the only striker in the whole bunch.
See, I'll take the number four, and we'll keep Shaka at five because we're hoping that by then we already won.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Because
you mean if there's a high pressure penalty,
right?
And you need somebody with nerves of steel.
No, I am saying
that you're steady right foot.
I'm saying that you're going to be our goalkeeper, and so therefore,
I'm your man.
You would have done your job already, and we will not need you.
Good point.
To perform.
You and I are saying the same thing.
Well, okay. I don't think so, but
yeah.
Dan is not taking a penalty.
I was going to say, if it goes to sudden death, 7, 8, 9, we're looking at Dan and Sebi.
No.
What about Herc? What about Hercules?
Hercules, yes. He can kick the ball hard.
Right.
Yeah, he can.
So he's both number six because I'm number five.
Yeah, well, you are shoehorned as number five.
What about Julie? What about Julie's in?
Well, yeah, Julie's in.
Kate Margraff? Is Kate still considered? Well, you called Brian McBride, ruled him out, so I guess
Have you seen Brian?
Yeah, no.
Have
no,
you
you're right.
Kick a ball?
You rightly ruled him out. But I just mentioned that you...
I mean, is the penalty going to be a header?
If you had a heavy penalty, you'd have Brian McBride.
Okay.
Where
are you in the list, by the way?
Well, emergency, left foot in the corner.
He's weaving his foot.
No, I think I had me in as...
I'm not taking a penalty.
I tell you, I'm ahead of Dan and...
What about, are you ahead of Gav?
Wrong Gav.
I may sneak in ahead of Gav. Gav, something that may concern us quite a lot over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Zeke wants to know what are everyone's favorite board games. Thought you might be able to get us running with that.
Board games.
Yeah.
Okay, so... I know I'm not the only one, but my family, we've even before this period, we've played a lot of Pandemic. And part of the thing about Pandemic is it's a board game where you actually play as a team, which is a good idea because some people in my family are extremely competitive. And many years ago, I received a court order barring me from playing Risk. Because I become extremely unpleasant at that. So Pandemic, everybody works together. If there's no proper teamwork, you guys all lose and it sucks. So I would strongly recommend Pandemic as something that, is a lot of fun, actually.
Gets Gab's competitive juices flowing, you can tell.
In our household, I'm not exaggerating when I say that we have at least 10 different versions of Monopoly.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
With
different cities, different themes.
Different themes and all that. Right?
Yeah.
But I do not know for the life of me why we play this game. Because you can guarantee it 100% somebody's going to cry at the end of the game. Now, I may be guilty of some back alley deals going on.
I knew that was coming.
There may be some Minorila things going on in and around some of the hotels and properties that I put around. And maybe the kids do not appreciate that too much.
Let me just say, I'm not sure I want to play a board game with Ali.
No.
Why not?
If he plays it like he plays golf, you're not winning, are you?
But no, I have fun playing golf.
We have fun today.
Ali has a streak to him.
I'm interested.
That
now.
many the viewers may not appreciate. Can get angry sometimes.
Angry?
Yeah. Yeah, he can get angry sometimes.
Yeah. With himself or with
No, no, no. Generally, it's with everybody in the immediate environs.
You know what?
Yes, Gabriella?
Oh, man.
You know what? You know what I would recommend playing, especially if you're going to play with Stevie, which is more soothing? Hungry Hippos.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I'll resign myself to finish in second if I'm playing with Stevie.
Now, fair to say, full disclosure, that I've given up anger for Lent.
Okay. But it will be back. Well, it will be back.
Can I just say I may have fallen off the wagon?
But I'm back.
We've come back.
Didn't take long.
No, that's all right. I have good intentions in place. However, if we play Pictionary, there may be some difficulty.
How can you not see what this is? Maybe we're going to have to bring in some board games to get through the next 2 or 3 weeks. We have some live action,
what we're going to be doing.
Pandemic. I'm going to have to check that one out, actually.
Yeah.
Gab.
We play Life in my house.
Life?
Yeah. And it's long.
Yeah.
It's long.
As suggested by the name, really.
We're going to have some time on our hands.
Maybe we'll get a little FIFA going, commentate on that as well. Some of us are back tomorrow.
I am
not one of those, so good luck, sir. I hope you will enjoy watching whatever.
Goal season opens tomorrow!
ESPN FC, hope you can be with us.